Thank you, Roxana, for leading us this morning. And this morning we are beginning the month of January in a slightly different sermon series to what we're used to at Fairfield. We're going to be examining our vision statement for 2014. Hopefully you've hung on to your little vision postcards. Here it is on the screen as well. So we want to be Christ-centered, people-focused, and outward-looking. And in order to do that, we'll be prioritising prayer, equipping the church for growth, promoting the gospel in Northern Hills and beyond, and sharing the love of Christ with the young. So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at, if you like, these four legs of our vision, how they work out amongst us in our life as Fairfield. And this morning, we are starting with prioritising prayer. So as we begin to think about prayer, listen to some of the first words that Philip Yancey writes in his book on prayer. I write as a pilgrim, not an expert. Before beginning this book, I mostly avoided the topic of prayer out of guilt and a sense of inferiority. And I'm sure you'll understand his sentiment. And it's important as we begin to think about prayer, as we begin to think about how it works out in our life as a church together, that we realise that we're all on the same journey together, along with Philip Yancey. You and I are on the same journey as we delve deeper into committing ourselves to prayer, and be assured that no one in this room has mastered prayer, and nor has anyone among us not struggled at one point or another with what prayer is, how to pray. Lots of questions about prayer. So we're in this one together, and let's not let any sense of guilt or inferiority stop us as we learn how to pray as a church and individually as well. So as we start, I'm just going to ask God, I'm going to pray now, ask God the Father to speak to us through His Spirit, reassuring us of His love and casting out all fear of us coming before Him to pray. So let's just pray now. Father God, we thank You that we can call You Father. That term of intimacy that Jesus used and taught us to use as well. That term, that title, that word that gives us assurance and a certain hope of Your acceptance and love for us. We ask that as we delve into our vision over the next 4 weeks, as this morning we look at prioritizing prayer, You would work in our hearts. You would speak to us this morning. You guard us from guilt and the fear of inferiority, reminding us to come to You as a child, to ask what we need, to talk to You about our lives, to listen attentively to what You're saying. We love You, Lord. We ask You to speak through Your Spirit to us this morning. Amen. So where are we heading this morning? What I want to do is look at prioritizing prayer in three different sections. What do we mean by prioritising prayer? Why prioritise prayer? And how do we as Fairfield prioritise prayer? So, what do we mean by prioritising prayer? Well, prayer tends to be assumed. It tends to be assumed. We agree that prayer is important in our life as a church, in our lives of individual disciples of Christ. Prayer should be a priority in our lives. We agree that that it's key. But sometimes, and often, it tends to be just assumed. Let me give you two examples of what I mean. If you think back to those of you who were there at our church house party back in June, Eric Harmer spoke on where we begin when we begin with evangelism, what to do with evangelism, where we start. Now at the end of that talk, very good talk, you can listen to it online, but at the end of that talk he said, all of this, all of what he said, would be completely undermined if we didn't prioritise prayer in reaching out to others with the gospel. All of it would be undermined. So he gave a long talk and then presumed and assumed that we would prioritise prayer. Becky Manley Pippert, who's the author of Out of the Salt Shaker, some of you will know her. Tom and I were at a day conference with her exploring Seeker Bible studies. And at the end of that day conference, she too told us that everything she'd said that day would have been undermined if we didn't prioritize prayer. She didn't talk about it. She didn't explain it. She assumed that we would be praying people and then going out and reaching. So both Eric and Becky presumed prayer will be a priority in our lives. And it goes without saying that we agree with both of them. But the challenge is that whilst we agree with them in theory, the practice is often very different. The practice is very different. Listen to what Richard Foster says about that. We today yearn for prayer and hide from prayer. We're attracted to it and repelled by it. We believe prayer is something we should do, even something that we want to do. But it seems as if a chasm stands between us and actually praying. Now I know this is something I've experienced, that combined longing to pray, to be in communion with God, and shrinking away from it as well at the same time. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who's experienced what Richard Foster's talking about just here. But why is that? Well, that's our starting point today. What do we mean by prioritizing prayer? We mean bridging that chasm between the theory of prayer and actually praying. And it starts when we realize that prayer is all about relationship. All about relationship. The main reason that we see this gap between theory and actually praying is that we can find ourselves too easily caught or falling into the trap of thinking that everything in our lives has to be just right in order for us to really pray. We feel like we must have the right motives, the right words, the right kind of language, have had the right week in order to come before God in prayer. But if prayer is about relationship, then God knows that we're only in relationship with him because of what his son Jesus Christ has done, not anything we've done or can do. We know the gospel of Christ, that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus as Lord, who is alive today because of the power of God who raised him from the dead. And this good news has got to infiltrate our lives of prayer, releasing us from the debilitating feeling that we've got to get everything right before we can pray, to realizing that God's love for us is such that he welcomes us just as we are, just as the words we have. Nothing of our own to make us worthy of coming into God's presence. It's all him. Prayer, then, is a relationship of love with God. And by being clear in our vision about our desire to prioritize prayer as individuals in this church and as a community of people, we're putting our relationship with God right at the top of our vision, which is exactly where it needs to be. What do we mean by prioritizing prayer? We mean that we want to keep our relationship with God right at the top of all we do, making sure as a whole church we are talking with him, listening to him about everything we do as church. Why then do we prioritize prayer? Why do we prioritize prayer? I think there are two main reasons. There are a lot of reasons why we want to prioritize prayer, but I want to bring out two main reasons. And the first reason is that it is thoroughly biblical. The first reason why we prioritize prayer is because it's thoroughly biblical. It's just a brief overview, because we're going to actually be having a sermon series on prayer in February and March, which will delve deeper into a number of different areas here. But all through Scripture, God is communicating with his people, and his people are communicating with God. We see this in the Psalms, in Jesus' teachings, and in Paul's letters. So let's look at the Psalms first. So the psalmist is remarkably free when it comes to prayer, when it comes to his talking to God about everything that's going on. The whole range of emotions and experiences are relayed to God through the Psalms. And it's liberating for us to see such raw emotion at times, of all extremes, displayed in the Psalms. God wants us to speak to him about everything that's going on in our lives. Nothing should be hidden from our relationship with God. I'll give you some examples. Cries of despair when God seems distant in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Demands to be saved from present situations. Psalm 6. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. The joy of praising God. Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Psalm we know well. And psalms of anger, outrage and bitterness. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept. O Babylon, happy is he who repays you for what you've done to us. He who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Uncomfortable psalms that express anger, bitterness, frustration of situations in life. So there are a whole range of psalms that fit any mood, without hint of remorse or regret for expressing what we're really feeling, what we're really going through, to our God who loves us. There's a distinct lack of pretense in the psalms. And that's exactly how we should pray. No pretense. No need to pray how we ought to pray. The point of prayer is to be in relationship with the Father God who loves you. That's what the Psalms teaches us about prayers. No need to fear about what we speak to God about, because prayer centers on relationship and not on technique. And Jesus' teaching reinforces this fact. When in Luke 11, Jesus' disciples ask him to teach them to pray, one of the first words he teaches them, when you pray, say, Father, our Father. Jesus' first priority in teaching his disciples to pray and teaching us to pray is that prayer centers on relationship, our Father, not on a formula or a technique. Everything that they are then to pray is to be spoken to God, their Father, who loves them, who knows them, who knows what they need even before they ask. And Matthew's account of Jesus' teaching on the prayer shows us that he tells them they don't need to use long words. They don't need to use the right kind of words. Neither do they need to use lots of words like the pagans did. Because they don't need to force God into listening to us. We don't need to convince God he should listen to us. He loves us. He wants to listen to us. He knows what we need. It's about relationship and not technique. And also in Paul's letters, Paul is always talking about prayer. Prayer seems to be part of who Paul is. And he also always calls on those he's writing to pray continually, to pray in all circumstances. Here's just a few places. You can see them on the screen. Thessalonians, pray continually. Romans, be faithful in prayer. Ephesians, always give thanks to God in everything. Ephesians again, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer. 1 Timothy, prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for everyone. Again, 1 Timothy, I want all men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer. And then in Philippians 4, the passage that Roxana read to us, which epitomizes what our attitude to prayer should be. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayers and petitions, present your requests to God. In everything, says Paul, pray. Don't be anxious about anything. What sort of things can we be anxious about? Well, we're anxious about almost anything. But Paul says that in everything, in absolutely everything, present your requests to God. And this is a command. It's a command from Paul here. Tell your requests to God. Tell God. Which echoes, this command echoes Jesus' teaching that God wants to know about what we need. He knows what we need. He loves us. He wants to hear from us. Prayer is a way of life for Paul. And we want prayer to be a way of life for us as well. And prayer as a way of life comes with a promise. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. We don't necessarily pray purely for the purpose of what we get, but the promise is there regardless. Peace in exchange for anxiety over the issues, over all issues and situations in life. Why is this so? Again, because prayer centers on relationship, and not on formula or technique. Paul doesn't tell us specifically what to pray for. In other areas in his letters he does, but here he doesn't. He says, pray for everything. Pray for anything. Talk to God about all. Healthy prayer means frequent experiences of common, ordinary, earthy, sometimes dull prayer. Prayer in every single situation. So talk to God about it all. The joys, the struggles, the frustrations at work. The realities of friendship and family life. So pray to God about everything. The joys and the struggles in life. The upcoming big decisions as well as the immediate small frustrations. Talk to God about it all is Paul's command. So that's the first reason. It's thoroughly biblical. That's why we prioritise prayer. The second reason is this. If we don't prioritise prayer, we drift. If we don't prioritise prayer, we drift. And if we're drifting in our relationship with God, we're likely sooner or later, and probably sooner, to drift away. Without communication with God, there is no relationship with God. I don't know about you, but I can remember leaving school with such great intentions of keeping in contact with my old schoolmates. We exchanged addresses and phone numbers. Still in that day there were no mobiles and we couldn't exchange emails because we didn't know what that was. But we exchanged addresses and phone numbers with the intention of keeping in contact. But now, if I'm honest, none of them are my friends. And why is that? It's because we never follow through. We never spoke, we never kept in touch. Without that communication, there's no relationship. We don't want to be a church. We don't want to be a church that ends up ignoring what God would say to us, what God would have us do. Because we've not been speaking to Him, we've not been listening to Him. We want to be a praying people who do take everything to God in order to hear from Him about our life as a community together, as well as our lives individually. Prioritising prayer in order to hear from God about what He'd have us do, about what He would want to teach us, about what He'd say to us. But there's good news if you are drifting now. We do not need to fear. We don't need to fear that our lack of prayer disqualifies us from coming back to God in prayer. We don't need to suffer the guilt of knowing that we should have been praying when perhaps we've not been praying. Perhaps we've been finding it difficult. None of these negative feelings disqualify us from God's attention as our Father. So we can turn back to Him. We can turn to Him. A source of forgiveness and healing. We'll come to Him in prayer. So there are two reasons why we want to prioritise prayer. It's thoroughly biblical. And if we don't, we drift. So how are we prioritising prayer? How are we doing that in Fairfield? Now I want to take some time just to show you the ways in which we prioritise prayer as a whole church, as in amongst us as a congregation. And there are a number of different ways. So firstly, it's in our collective prayer times. And there are three main ones that we have. We have prayer on a Sunday morning at 9:30 up in room 4, where we pray for the service coming up and for other prayer requests that we see on the service sheet in other areas. We pray on a Thursday morning at 9:15 a.m. in the small hall, praying for a regular list of church activities and people who need prayer. And we also have our monthly House of Prayer Fairfield, which is our main whole church prayer gathering, which has been running for the last 18 months. And we want to provide in that opportunity for the whole church to gather together to pray for the ministries of the church, praying in different ways, sometimes in groups, sometimes together, sometimes individually, sometimes using prompts or prayer stations to inspire prayer, all designed to provide space to come before our Father and speak to Him and listen to Him about the ministries of the church. You'll notice you do have a sheet with the next few dates. I look particularly for the whole day prayer on Tuesday 21st of January. We'll be having a short prayer gatherings throughout the day from 6 a.m, 10 a.m, 12 noon, 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. Short prayer gatherings throughout the day. Come to a couple of them if you can, but pray that day for the ministries and the church and what God might do with us and through us this next year on that day. How do we prioritise prayer? Secondly, through our sermon series. We don't just want to pray regularly together, but that is exactly what we want to do, but we want to actually teach on the topic of prayer. The 7-week sermon series will look in more in depth at prayer, at different types of prayer, and we hope that through this series we'll be equipped to grasp and understand what prayer is, as well as be encouraged to come before our Father more readily and regularly in prayer. Here's what we've got to look forward to. A 7-week series, what is prayer and how does it work? How do I pray? Looking at corporate prayer, prayers of confession and accountability, intercessory prayer. What about unanswered prayer and prayer of worship and thanksgiving? How do we prioritise prayer? In the prayer ministry team, available every Sunday morning. Over here, my left, your right-hand side of the stage, after all-age worship and after teaching time. What's their purpose? It's to pray with any and every who would like prayer. There's no right or wrong reason to come up to be prayed for. And I want to encourage you to make use of the prayer ministry team, especially if God's been speaking to you through the service, through the worship, through the word, through the prayers. Let's get this straight. It's no sign of weakness to come for prayer. In fact, it's a sign of strength to recognise that we need God's Spirit at work within us and others to pray for us. So come and use the prayer ministry team. They're available every single week. We as a whole church want to be open to what God's Spirit might do as we gather together each Sunday morning. The prayer team provide a great opportunity for us to actually respond to God and what He's been doing. What the Spirit's been doing in our hearts as we worship together. So don't leave, don't rush off straight after the service if God's been challenging you or encouraging you. Come pray. Illuminate also provides us another opportunity to prioritise prayer. Illuminate is going to be another monthly service from this month onwards, where we're able to worship God, to have some space to let God's Spirit work in our lives. And our prayer team, ministry team, is always available at Illuminate, as we seek to be open to what the Spirit is doing. Another place where we prioritise prayer. Where else do we prioritise prayer? In house groups and in prayer triplets. The elders have strongly encouraged that each house group on the first house group on every term is given over to prayer for the church and for each member of that house group. We prioritise prayer for one another in our house groups, in a way that's different, and we can't in a whole church service together. Also, prayer triplets, which have developed informally amongst some in the church, and provide a more informal and perhaps specific space to pray over situations and circumstances in each other's lives. Generally, they're organised and run informally, but if you are interested and don't know how to go about setting them up, come and have a chat to them. Come and have a chat to them. Where else will the eldership prioritise prayer? The elders of the church prioritise prayer in two ways. Firstly, by praying together every Friday morning. Each week we gather in church to seek God on behalf of the church, praying for the activities of the church, the ministries of the church, Sunday morning ministries, and for those who might be sick or suffering in some way or other, and others whom God might lay on our hearts. And secondly, the elders and their wives gather every other month to pray specifically for all members of the church, using the prayer diary. And the prayer diary is another way we prioritise prayer. With each day, a number of names to pray for, as well as their contact details. So the elders of the church prioritise prayer, not just for the decisions and the direction, but also for each and every one of you. And also on our Sunday services, always prayer is a part of our time as we gather together, whether it's more informal prayer of praise and thanksgiving, or it's more specific times of intercession for situations around the world, or those who don't yet know Christ. Prayer always forms a part of our service together. So prioritising prayer. As a church, we can put all sorts of things in place that encourage that we want you to be included in praying together. But actually, if you or I don't pray, there's a limited amount we can do to force you. There's much going on, but ultimately it's down to you and I to prioritise prayer in our own lives. Committing to pray for the ministry and members of the church is part of the responsibilities of membership here at Fairfield. It means paying attention to the Thursday email, the notice sheets, the missionary updates, and other communication from the church office, remembering and regularly praying for what's going on. But ultimately, prioritising prayer, prioritising our relationship with God, is down to you. To pray in everything, to keep on talking with your Father who loves you and made a way for you to be in relationship with him through Christ Jesus. We as a church don't want to do anything before we've discussed it with God. We want to submit all our plans, all our preparation, all our ideas, all our activities to him and seek his direction, his leading, and come before him consciously like a child comes before a parent. We don't just want that for our community together. We want that for every single one of us in this room. And it's our vision that we'll do that as a church. We'll prioritise prayer as a church. And it's our vision that each of us in our own lives will prioritise prayer. Coming before God our Father to hear from him and to talk with him.